I'm Debbie Reber, and welcome to Tilled Parenting, a podcast featuring interviews and conversations aimed at inspiring, informing, and supporting parents raising differently wired kids. I get a lot of questions from listeners looking for help navigating complex situations with their kids. So in this new mini episode format, I'll be answering listener questions, sometimes all on my own, sometimes with one of the parent coaches from the Differently Wired Club, and sometimes with an author or expert who's become a trusted resource. Think of these bite-sized, short and sweet parent-leaning episodes as a quick check-in. One question, one answer, featuring strategies, tips, or reframes that can support you in your parenting world. To submit a question for a parent-leaning episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. All right, here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. I have today with me educator Zach Morris for this Parent Lean-In episode. Zach specializes in working with parents and young adults who are navigating the complex dynamics of neurodivergent experience. He is uniquely equipped to serve families with profiles of autism, especially PDA, families who are navigating trauma, and families who need to heal and repair relationships. Zach's been on the show multiple times, so likely if you're a longtime listener, you've heard him on the show, and he is also a parent coach in my Differently Wired Club. So welcome, Zach. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Debbie. Happy to be here.
This question, I was like, oh, I need Zach's take on this. So this is a good question, and it's one that, again, I think many listeners are going to resonate with some aspect of what the parent who wrote in is dealing with. So here's the question. How should a parent handle the balance of letting a neurodivergent young adult be themselves, dress the way they want, engage in certain limited activities, not pressure about school when the child conversely struggles from severe depression because they want the outcomes their neurotypical peers are experiencing? For example, they desperately want friends, but they won't go out, wear clothing typical of peers, or shower frequently. They wish they could go to college, but will not study. They wish they could join a team, but won't practice the activity. So again, for context, this is a 20-year-old who's autistic, learning disabilities, ADHD, depression, and anxiety. So Zach, I'd love if you want to kind of kick us off with this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of thoughts coming up. And I think the question was sort of originally asking, you know, like, how do we balance this like sort of letting them be themselves and kind of, you know, trying to support some of these other things. And I think, you know, my sort of from a reductionist standpoint, I think I would support the idea of like, we really want our kids to lean into themselves. Like, we really want to support this sort of like full version of themselves, right? Because, that's not only a really hard thing to actually get to know for just like all of us as humans, right? But maybe especially hard for me, depending on my nervous system, right? Some of the sensitivities I have, what my interoception's like, my ability to notice those things, right? So we really want kids, I think, to get to know those parts of themselves. And I see this a lot, right? This discrepancy between like what I want and what I envision and what I actually experience. Right. And I think this is a huge part of the process of like helping our kids get to know themselves and what they're open to and what they're willing to try and what some of their foundational truths are. Right. So I think a lot of times when it comes to this like vision and not maybe being able to sort of take the steps towards that thing, I think a lot of times we're talking about can't, not won't. You know, so that's sort of a reframe I would sort of add to this is that it might be more that they can't engage some of those practices more than they just won't engage those practices. It might be that I have multiple needs in conflict with each other, right? Where it's like, yeah, I'm wanting this thing. I have a need for social connection, or I have a need for certain stimulation or something like that. But I also have a deep need for rest or ease or something else, right? And so it could just be like this duality of needs that's creating some just conflict that I'm trying to process, right? So I think I'm such an advocate for really trying to support our kiddos in getting to know these experiences, getting to know these parts, getting to know these dualities that are existing so we can just separate all this stuff and we can talk about it and we can basically figure out like, well, what's true for you? What are you open to? What am I maybe grieving? That's a huge part of this, right? When I have a vision for something, but I maybe see like, but I'm not actually totally able to do that right now. Or I want it, but there's all these parts of it actually that I don't want. Mm-hmm. And I might have shame about that. I might have grief and sadness about that, right? So I think what we're talking about is how do we help our kids be really compassionate with themselves about this experience that they're having?
Yeah. There's so much wisdom in everything you just shared. The first thing that came to mind was something that Ned Johnson, who I just did this event on building stress tolerance with, the author of The Self-Driven Child, he always reminds me that our kids want their lives to work out. And I think we forget that, you know, especially as observers or supporters or coaches, you know, consultants to our kids. And we're kind of seeing that their actions are not matching their stated goals. And that can feel so frustrating. So I love that reframe, as well as the fact that you said they weren't able, something they're not able to do right now. So I think that is, yes, that makes so much sense. And, you know, as I read this question, that idea came up to me too, this disconnect between the desired outcomes and the steps. And I also just want to speak to the depression piece, because a depressed human is going to struggle with so many aspects of their lives. Like, even if they, you know, want to do something, just taking the littlest step might be really, really feel impossible. It might feel like too hard of a lift. And then there can be that internal shame spiral, like, I'm not even doing this. What's the point? You know, so you can really kind of go down a road with that. So I just want to acknowledge that the depression is a motivation killer, full stop. So some of the things that I was thinking about for the parent is also to really slow down and make peace yourself with this kind of longer timeline. And if you can do that as a parent, so you're not kind of imposing your own worries and fears and anxieties about what this trajectory looks like, that will help your child not place that pressure on themselves. So if you as the parent can really come to more acceptance about the fact, like, okay, there are these things my kid wants, they're not able to take the steps right now. How can we kind of take some of the pressure off and work towards very small, meaningful steps that we can then build on, and trying to then expand on some small wins? So if we can even get the tiniest win, how can we kind of use that as a way to maybe work towards something else? And I also think talking real with our kids about this stuff, you know, saying like, you're depressed, like, it makes sense that you are having a hard time doing these things. And, you know, our priority is to help you get to a better place mental health wise, because we know that you're capable. We know that you have so much potential and you're going through something really hard right now. So let's focus on trying to help you feel better.
Yeah, I love that. I'm, you know, what I take out of what you're saying in going like, oh, that makes so much sense actually, that like, this is happening, right? This is the experience we're having, is like, I think about this concept of like, the multiple ways to show care, and how a lot of times, like, the actions I'm taking as a parent, like, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from this place of care, right? I care so deeply about the experience you're having and wanting you to like reach your goals that you want to reach and all of those things, right? So as I go to have that conversation again about like how we're going to get you to engage these practices that you want to do, that's one way of showing care and support and all of that, right? But kind of to your point, that might not be the priority right now necessarily. It might not be like, how are we going to get to this practice? It might be, how are we going to engage some compassion around that this is the experience I'm having? Or how am I going to sort of sit with this and figure out what this means for me, right? So this idea of, this is like sort of a mantra that's coming into my head a lot, is like, how else can I show care? You know, like in this moment when I maybe have that proclivity to like have that conversation again, or provide that reminder to start in on that practice or whatever that is. Like if we're now in a pattern or dynamic where it doesn't seem to be really creating the momentum we're looking for, ooh, I'm seeing that shame cycle come online. that's where I'm going, oh, how, oh yeah, this is me caring. Mm. How else could I care right now?
Mm. Oh, that's such a good question. I want to ask a follow-up to that. We'll take a quick break.
I'm on the road this month, and oh man, am I missing my sweet kitties Haskell and Lua. They've been a part of our family for more than 2 years, and I'm so grateful they're keeping Darren such good company while I'm away. If you're getting a new pet soon, you're probably already thinking about everything you'll need to buy. Food, toys, a cozy bed, doggy bags, or litter boxes. Something you may not be thinking about, though, is pet insurance. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. If you listen to this show, you probably know that at least 1 in 5 children is differently wired. But did you know that approximately 1 in 2 women will experience hair thinning? If you're part of that 50%, you are absolutely not alone. But because hair thinning for women isn't something people openly talk about, going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. So why not do something about it with Nutrafol? Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth isn't going to cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, postpartum, menopause, even for different lifestyles like a plant-based diet. To get your personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, you can take a simple hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com. And because there's no prescription required, you can quickly get set up online with free shipping and automated deliveries, which make it so much easier to stick with your new hair care routine. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TILT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT.
As you're saying that, I have a question, just wondering what comes up for you. I'm going back to looking at what the listener sent in about these kind of goals, wanting friends, wanting to go to college, wanting to join a team. You know, if we were to help our child kind of prioritize one of those things, I'm just like, you know, we talked about the mental health piece of prioritizing, getting that back on track. But are there any of those goals or things that you feel would have like a bigger bang for their buck, if that makes any sense? Mm. Like, because you can't tackle everything at once. Let's pick one thing. Yeah. Just wondering if you have thoughts about that.
Yeah. You know, I think it might depend on some more of the details of the situation and sort of like where there's access or what sort of the history of experience trying to achieve those things has been, right? In a sense. And I think that a way of getting to that clarity or sort of more of that, oh, this is the priority, this is what we can access right now, is looking at like in those things I'm wanting, right? Because in a lot of respects, we're talking about in objective form. I want to go to college. I want some more friends. I'm also get really curious around, and what are those needs I'm trying to get met that I kind of imagine those things meeting, right? Maybe I think about going to college and I imagine that really meeting my need for social connection. Or I think about, you know, going to college and that really meeting my need for intellectual stimulation. Or, you know, I think about having friends and I think about like that giving me community or a place to share my interests, right? Or all of these things. And if we can actually get to what the needs are, we can start to also examine how needs can be met in a multitude of ways. So I could get that need met by going to college, but I might also get that need met in some other ways. And as we look to try to get to that need met in college, how can we access it right now? Where else might we, because that's what I'm ultimately seeking out. I'm seeking out getting that need met. And this is just sort of the route to that, right? So rather than that focus being sort of the strategy for meeting the need, I get really curious and go, what's the need and what would it look like for us to try to take some steps around there if we could get sort of, you know, collaboration around that and if our kiddo kind of resonated with that concept being relevant.
I love all these reframes. It's I just watched a detective series, that True Detective show on HBO.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Jodie Foster keeps saying is wrong question. What's the right question? And so I love these questions you're asking, like, what is the need that needs to be met here? And the question you said earlier, like, what's another way that I can show that I care? So I just so appreciate those reframes. I have a couple last thoughts and then we'll see if you have any, and then we'll wrap up. I guess I just, my biggest last thought is, you know, I always read this stuff from my perspective. I always put myself in the shoes of whoever, you know, is writing into me. And I know that when I'm feeling this way, I have to prioritize taking care of myself as well. If you have a child at 20 who is kind of stalling out, who is, you know, the stakes feel really high, it feels really scary. If things aren't unfolding or if things are moving in the opposite direction that we were expecting they'd be moving in by this time. And our kids can be so attuned to our energy about that. So as much as possible, I would say to find a way, find an outlet to vent or to process your own feelings and worries and fears and all of that stuff that is like completely removed from any interactions you have with your child. But don't ignore it, like process it, work with someone, get it out of your system so that you can show up to your child without that stress and just kind of trust that your kid's going to get there. It's going to be okay. It just may be a much longer timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I kind of piggybacking on that a little bit. I've yet to meet a 20-year-old that doesn't feel rushed to figure it out. Like, right. So even if that's not what I'm communicating to you, right. Even if that's sort of like buried under some of my depression experience, right. I have yet to meet a 20-year-old that doesn't feel rushed and pressured to figure it out. And so I think what you're talking about is also like, how do we process our own panic, our own anxieties, our own these things so that we can sort of rest in the like feeling confident we're going to figure this out. Feeling like we have time, right? All of these things because our kiddos need to borrow that confidence. Our kiddos need to borrow that sense of like, we've got plenty of time. We're going to figure this out. So that was coming up for me. One other couple last things I wanted to say was kind of what you were talking about with what Ned Johnson was saying, which I love what you were adding there. And often the way I talk about and describe it is everyone wants to be their best selves. Right? All of our kiddos want to be their best selves. And it's also an incredibly normal human thing to make choices that aren't in our best interest. You know what I mean? And so like, that's such a part of the process. That's such a part of the learning process is like, oh yeah, having that vision of starting this practice and then not starting the practice, right? It's like, all we have to do is look to like people's exercise routines, right? To see how we often don't make, right? But what we often need in those moments is we need gentleness. We need understanding, right? It's like not often from that place of hearing like, I really got to get to it. If we don't start it soon, it's going to be, you know? And so I think it's that gentleness, that borrowing our confidence that we have time and that we're going to figure this out because I think all of our kids want to be their best selves and want to take those steps.
So good. Thank you for that, Zach. And I want to thank our listener for sending in that question. Selfishly, thank you, because of course I benefit from this conversation as well. So Zach, thank you so much for joining me to talk through this today.
Yeah, thanks, Debbie.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Tilt Parenting Podcast. To
To learn more about the resources mentioned in this Parent Lean In episode, go to the extensive show notes page on tiltparenting.com. To submit a question for a future episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. If you're looking for personal support from me in connection with the phenomenal community of parents raising neurodivergent kids, join us in the recently rebooted Differently Wired Club. The new Differently Wired Club can help you cultivate the positive shifts you're hoping for. Go to tiltparenting.com/club to learn more. The Tilt Parenting Podcast is hosted by me, Debbie Reber, author of Differently Wired and the founder of Tilt Parenting. To support this show, please join my Patreon campaign where you can set up a small monthly contribution. Just go to patreon.com/tiltparenting to learn more. If you want to follow Tilt on social media, go to @tiltparenting on Instagram and Facebook. Lastly, please take a minute to leave a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps this show stay visible so others can find it more easily. And that's all for this week. Stay safe, stay well, and take good care. And for more information about any of the parenting resources Tilt offers, visit tiltparenting.com.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.